Today's reading comes from Matthew chapter 13, can be found on page 978 of your Bibles. That's Matthew 13, reading from verses 1 to 9. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, "A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places, where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still, other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. He who has ears, let him hear."
Ben, thank you very much indeed for reading for us. Perhaps if you turn over your song sheet, you'll find in the middle there on the left an outline of today's talk, and on the right, various notices. May I encourage you, if you would find it helpful, to look into the Christianity Explored course. It's just begun. It's not too late to join. And I know one or two people who've been thinking about doing it. Numbers of us here have done it. It's an extremely useful and helpful 7-week course, an opportunity to investigate the claims of Jesus Christ in an informal and relaxed atmosphere. Well, why don't we pray, and then we'll study God's word together. Jesus said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And so, Father, we praise you for this opportunity to hear the words of Jesus Christ. Please grant us responsive hearts that accept his word, that understand it, and respond correctly. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And I may welcome you again to the second in this series in Matthew 13, which I've called The Heavenly Manifesto. And Matthew 13 is part of a section that deals in Matthew's Gospel with the growth of Christianity. That is, it is concerned with the way in which the rule of Jesus spreads and the way in which the number of people who belong to Jesus are drawn together and grow and expand in the period from the first coming of Jesus through to the end of the world. Matthew organizes his material in blocks. And chapter 10 through 12 is a block of material all about the rule of Jesus being proclaimed. And chapter 11 to 13 deal with the spread of the rule of Jesus through history. And verse 12 of chapter 11, I think, is a good summary verse. You might just turn back a page to it. "From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing." That is, the rule of Jesus and the spread of the rule of Jesus is unstoppable. And we only have to look across the world today to the massive advance of Christianity to see that that is true. But, second half of verse 12, "forceful men lay hold of it. The rule of Jesus advances with mixed response and real opposition." Well, now this first parable in Matthew 13 has got two major points that I want us to dwell on, and you'll see the first one there. The kingdom, the rule of Christ, grows through the spread of Jesus' word. Or to put it slightly more forcefully, the rule of Jesus spreads through the widespread broadcast of his word. And that point is made in Jesus' explanation of the parable as we look at verses 18 through to verse 23. So just glance down, would you? Chapter 13, verse 18. "Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. And now look at the centrality of the word of Jesus. When anyone hears, literally, the word of the kingdom and doesn't understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. That is the seed sown along the path. The one who receives the seed that fell on rocky places is the man who hears the word, and at once receives it with joy. But since he has no root, he lasts only a short time. When trouble or persecution come because of the word, he quickly falls away or is scandalized. The one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. But the one who received the seed that fell on good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it. He produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. So now, do you see, in the words of the hymn we've just sung, that the seed in the parable is the vital word of Jesus Christ, the teaching of the King? And that by the end of the parable, we see that the seed yields a vast and a remarkable harvest. We'll come back to that in just a moment. The overall point, I think, is clear that the word is spread over all types of soil with all sorts of response, with the net result being extraordinary growth. Now, this is very important for us to grasp. Last week, if you were here with us, you will remember that Jesus explained why he taught the parables, and we discovered that what we were taught in RE at school was completely wrong. Can you remember your RE lessons? They were always great fun, time for flicking things around and misbehaving because you didn't have exams at the end of them. But I do remember being taught that the parables of Jesus were simple stories for simple country folk that simple people could understand. Whereas last week we saw Jesus telling us, verse 13 of chapter 13, that he speaks in parables so that seeing we don't see, hearing we don't hear or understand, or in the language of verse 11, so that only those who come and listen to the King Jesus for further teaching will understand them. So in the parables, Jesus deliberately veils the truth. It's completely upside down of what we were taught at school. Jesus deliberately conceals the truth so that only those who will come to him for further instruction can learn the truth. Well, now, somebody said to me, a careful thinking person, it could have been you, said to me last week that, well, if that is the case, how should we then operate at St. Helens? Shouldn't we just shut the doors and wait for people who will learn from Jesus to come in through the doors and only teach them? Should we close down our website, cease to mention the name of Jesus unless it's brought up in the office, and wait for God to send us those whom he wants to instruct? Well, what does the parable of the sower teach us? Firstly, that the kingdom of Jesus, the rule of Jesus, grows through the widespread broadcast of the word of Jesus the King. That's how it grows. Now, there's always a danger, isn't there? I don't want to give a long lesson on first century horticultural habits and practice. You can stay up late and watch Open University for that. But at home on the farm where I was brought up, we did have an implement left over from the Iron Age back on in the back of one of our buildings called a seed fiddle. And called a seed fiddle because it works like a violin. And you do this and that operates a spinner at the bottom of some tube which you're carrying over your back, and it spins the grain out behind you. We only used it a couple of times. It was there really just because no one had got rid of it. But the fundamental assumption of this parable is that as the sower scatters, there is no 21st century precision drilling. Do you see? The seed falls on all sorts of different types of soil. The growth comes from the word of Jesus. It comes as the word of Jesus is spread broadly over any number of different types of soil. See how it begins to answer the question that person asked me last week? Do we just teach those who come in? Do we sit in here saying our prayers, waiting for God's people to come in to be taught? No, says Jesus, that the kingdom grows through the widespread broadcast of his word. It's not a narrow cast, it's a broadcast. And we see that in the ministry of Jesus. I jotted down some verses there for you. We actually haven't got time, I discovered, to look them all up. But if you want to, you can look at them. 4:17, 4:23, chapter 5, chapter 7, chapter 9. Jesus teaches, 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 spreads his word. Chapter 10, what does he do? He sends his disciples out to spread his word. Chapter 11, what do we find him doing? Teaching around the city of Galilee, cities of Galilee. How does God's kingdom grow? Through the widespread broadcast of the word of the king. God deliberately veils the truth from those who will not come to be taught by Jesus the king. But the kingdom grows as the word, the truth, is spread. So you see, some fell on the path, some fell in rocky places, some fell among thorns, some fell in good soil. There was real growth, but widespread broadcasting. Now, it's important that we get this straight, because through history, churches have frequently got it wrong. I was reading last night of William Carey's essay. He was the founder of the Baptist Missionary Society that first took the message of Jesus to India. And he had to write an essay in 1792 entitled, and listen to it because this makes the point clear, An Inquiry into the Obligation of Christians to Use Means for the Conversion of the Heathen. Now, it's written in 1792, which explains the non-PC language. Actually, if you read it, it is extremely PC document. You can look it up on the web this afternoon if you haven't got anything to do. But the fact that he had to write this essay stemmed from the local ministers in Leicester and other ministers in his denomination saying, well, if God gives understanding and brings people into the kingdom, then surely we just sit in our churches praying and then God will bring them. What does Jesus say? The growth of the kingdom comes through the widespread broadcasting of the word. So this parable corrects that. This parable also corrects the churches and organizations who have abandoned the word as the means of growth. I don't know if you've read Peter Brierley's report, The Tide is Running Out. It's utterly depressing title and it's utterly depressing reading, speaking and about and surveying English church attendance through the last 50 years or so. Again, humanly speaking, you see, the decline in these numerous churches where there has been real decline in Christianity has come because they've ceased to proclaim the word of Jesus. They've done all sorts of other things, been engaged in all sorts of other activities, but there has been no clear proclamation of the word of Jesus. Once again, the parables tell us that that is wrong. It's not surprising to see that the one place where there is growth in the Christian church in England is amongst the churches that proclaim the word. How does the kingdom grow? Through the widespread broadcast of the words of Christ. Well, maybe back at home you're part of a church that has battened down the hatches, ceased to spread God's word vigorously, and where you're just sitting inside the building waiting for people to come. Well, this is a correction, isn't it? If you're in leadership, we need to listen to it. How does the kingdom of God grow? Through the spread of his word. Maybe we're part of a church that is thoroughly involved in parish fetes, visiting, social action and all that sort of thing, but there is no word. Well, we won't see growth. Let me just apply that to St. Helens and our congregations here. You may know that over the last 3 or 4 years we've been seeking to set up ministries like this one, works like this one, from Westminster across to Canary Wharf, and to be involved in others in doing that. So far, there are a whole number of works like this dotted along the river, reaching people with the word of Jesus. It is a wonderful thing to see them growing. But if for one second any one of those centres became introverted, so that we only taught those who came, and there was no vigorous spread of the word out through the offices, then we would not be engaging in God's work as he intends it. How does the kingdom grow? Through the widespread broadcast of the word. And those of us who are Christian, I hope, see this work here purely as a springboard to take the words of Jesus into our offices, amongst our colleagues, back home in our villages and towns and suburbs, so that the work and rule of Jesus spreads. Well, there's the first point. The second point is similarly straightforward, I hope. The kingdom grows and goes on growing in spite of a very mixed response. And the emphasis here is both on growth and on the mixed response. But I want us to see that the parable makes the point that the kingdom will grow. Whether we like it or not, the rule of Jesus will spread around the world. It will grow. There will be a bumper harvest. Whether we choose to be involved or not, growth will happen. So verse 23, the one who received the seed that fell on good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it. He produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Now, in order for us to understand this, I want us to just look at verse 15, which tells us what it means to understand the word of Jesus. It's taught negatively in verse 15. So look down at verse 15. We obviously have to read it positively to understand the growth. Verse 15. This people's heart has been calloused. They've hardly hear with their ears. They've closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. So what does it mean from verse 15? Just glance down at it again. Last line. What does it mean to understand the words of Jesus? Practically, what does it mean to understand the words of Jesus? Do you get it? Do you see it? Last two lines. If we understand in our hearts, remember, the heart is the seat of reason in the Bible. That's where we do our thinking, in our hearts, in Bible language. So if we understand with our hearts, what do? Verse 15. We turn to Jesus the King, and he heals, he mends, he restores our relationship with God, such that, verse 23, we go out and produce a great crop. I think the language of healing is very helpful, isn't it? I mean, when you're on sick leave, or when you take a sick day and you're not going to watch the test or something like that, which I hope you're not doing, you are not in a position, I take it, even to get out of bed, let alone do anything fruitful. That's the whole point of sickness, isn't it? I mean, when you have a temperature of 103 and you're languishing in your bed and demanding to be waited on hand and foot, you do not feel like doing anything fruitful. You can't. And Jesus is saying the person who understands in their heart the word of Christ, receives it, understands it, turns to him, the great physician, for spiritual healing, such that then in right relationship with God, they can go out and engage in fruitful service. It's a great picture, isn't it? And the service is fruitful. Verse 23. He who hears the word and understands it produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times. That, even in today's terms, is a bumper harvest. I didn't bother ringing the NFU or the Ministry of Agriculture. I've got enough to think about at the moment. But they would have told us that even in today's terms, with precision drilling into nitrogen-laden fields saturated with weed-killing sprays, the harvest of verse 23 is huge. With a yield like that, the Lincolnshire grain baron would have no more need of subsidies. So in Jesus' day, those kind of proportions would be unimaginable. And his point is that the kingdom grows. We can't stop it growing. It grows as those who hear his word, understand it, receive it, turn to Christ, are healed, restored in their relationship with God, and then sent out in fruitful service. Last week there was a couple here at the first service who are retired and who used to be in the choir that sang here in St. Helens back in the 1950s. At that time there was a robed choir and a vicar who, I believe, did not spread the word of Christ, and there was therefore no congregation. If it wasn't sad, it would have been rather amusing, for apparently the choir used to meet each week, and they sang only to the vicar, and the vicar rang services each week, and he ran them only for the choir. It's pathetic, really, isn't it? Well, just glance around you. I know it's bank holiday Tuesday, and therefore a little thin on the ground today, but just glance around you at what has happened over the last 40 years as the word has been spread liberally in this area surrounding St. Helens. There has been steady, patient, enduring sowing. And there has been real growth. People have gone out, hundreds, thousands over the last 40 years, have gone out from here spreading the word of Christ. People have gone home from here and spread the word of Christ. People have been sent far afield from here to spread the word of Christ. 25 minutes a week of steady, faithful teaching of God's word has yielded a bumper harvest. But of course, the point is that this harvest happens in the face of mixed response. And that's the point of these other three soils, isn't it? The path, the rocky soil, and the thorn. I remember an invitation lunch we held here on a Thursday a few years back where we heard the word of Jesus, the forgiveness he offers, the rule of Christ. We heard about our rejection of his rule and what a wicked thing it is to reject Christ. It was a clear talk. The preacher preached his heart out. You couldn't have missed the point. And yet over coffee, an individual who'd been brought in by somebody told our table how decent he was, how happy he was with his life without God, how he didn't need God's forgiveness or God's rule, and how he was sure God would accept him on the day of judgment on the basis of what he had done. I could hardly believe it. I mean, he had obviously not heard a word. Like a brick wall, like a path, it had not penetrated even a millimetre below the surface. For his heart was hard, he had refused to listen, he hadn't heard, and the seed had been just snapped straight away. And now all of us will have experienced that. Anyone who hears the word about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the seed sown along the path. All of us will know people, if we're Christian, who have heard the word, caught a snippet of the word, but because of hardness of heart has deliberately rejected it and refused to listen to any of it. And Jesus says, in spite of that response, the kingdom will grow. The kingdom will grow in spite of that response. All of us who are Christian will have come across the rocky soil where there is terrific initial enthusiasm, an apparent remarkable growth, great joy. People receive the message of Jesus with happiness, and then just within a matter of weeks or months or just a year or two, difficulty turns up. Somebody begins to laugh at their faith, reject them because of their faith, and they just wither and die. Again, I remember hearing about a man who came here regularly for a number of weeks. He started to read the Bible with the person who brought him. There appeared to be real growth. And then in the office, people started to comment, what are you doing wasting your time with that? Are you joining the God Squad? Have you become a Bible basher? You know the hostility out there. His wife began to notice. And he said to the person who was bringing him, I don't think I want to have anything more to do with it. Apparent growth, no root in the word, for the word of God in his life, falling away. But probably here in the city, one of the biggest responses we see is the deceitfulness of wealth and the worries of life. Do you see, both the bad things of life and the good things of life can choke us. However pressing and urgent, however wonderful and appealing, both can choke the word. So just look at verse 22. The one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of this life, there's the bad things or the things that concern us, and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. The mortgage, the pension plan, the children's education, the health insurance, the career ladder, the end-of-year figures, the market, the lifestyle, the foreign holiday, the skiing, the Tuscany villa, the extension to the house in the country, the fitness club, the shopping mall. They can all choke. Not bad in themselves, some of them very pressing, but they can begin to take up so much disk space on the hard drive that there is no room for what really matters, the word through which kingdom growth happens. That's how growth happens, isn't it? Through the word. But if I am so busy at the weekend that I can never come to hear the word because I'm dashing off round the rallies or because I have to fix that in my cottage in the country, or if I'm so busy at lunchtime that I can't get out to hear the word, then I will find strangulation taking place. Oh, I don't come on Sundays anymore, said somebody, because I like to get out of London at the weekend and I can't get back in time for 7 o'clock because I want to spend time with my friends. Oh, I don't get a chance to make it on Tuesdays because my work is so busy that I can't leave the office. Oh, I find I can't come out on a Thursday evening to study God's word because of my social life. Choke, strangle, deceitful, the deceitfulness of wealth. Well, now, all of us have seen these responses, but the great encouragement of this parable is that the kingdom will grow in spite of them. There's nothing we can do to stop it. Jesus is king. His rule will spread. The question is whether we want to embrace the spread of his rule or not. And that's what Jesus says to the crowd in verse 9. He tells the disciples not to be discouraged as they spread the word. But verse 9, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. I wonder, what kind of soil are you? What kind of soil are you? That's the question to be asking ourselves as we go home. Or rather, back to the office, I should think, right now. Let's pray, shall we? Our Father God, we praise you for this invitation to turn and be healed spiritually by Christ in relationship with our Father in heaven. And we ask that you would enable each one of us to hear your word, to respond to it, to put first things first. Please guard us from being choked by worry or wealth. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.